You're listening to Off the Card, an action figure podcast, a show about action figures by kids trapped in the bodies of grown men. And here they are, Billy Cooper, Eric Murphy, and Joe Gardner.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining. Off the Card, number 23. We're going to do a break. Let Joe lead us off with all his knowledge of Mezco and everything else. What'd you have, Mezco and PulseCon?
Yeah, Mezco RumbleCon and Hasbro's PulseCon. And I'm only covering the G.I. Joe portion of PulseCon. I watched some of the rest, but G.I. Joe's my thing. So
there you go.
PulseCon did pull a fast one on Ghostbusters fans, and some of us were happy and some of us were pretty mad.
What happened?
They dumped what they had left of the HasSlab Proton Packs on the Big Bad Toy Store secretively, and they went with, they were gone within an hour, but the markup was also by about $200 markup.
Oh, good grief.
They went for $400 from what they were from the crowdfunding to $600.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. And then by the time I got back to it, there you go.
Damn.
Yeah. It's
I'd heard about some of those HasLabs dropping on Big Bad Toy Store.
Yep. They snuck that always shit in real quick. Like, and I was like, oh, look. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah. All right, Joe. What are you starting with? We're going to start with the.
We'll start with the RumbleCon. And, okay. The first day, I'll tell you, first day they dropped their exclusive figure, which was Slugfest.
That's a
he's
big,
already arrived.
Head. Yeah,
he's a big beefy dude, light up head, comes with a jug of moonshine.
Little
robotic doggy. Yeah, he's pretty slick. He's like a secondary mascot. I mean, you go on their webpage, you've got Slugfest's Emporium. And that's where a lot of the Rumble Society products are listed for purchase and whatnot.
Is that the first figure of him?
Yes.
Okay.
First figure of him. So he was mentioned a year or two ago as coming out. And now we finally have him.
So we'll see that mold numerous times over the next year.
Good chance. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Everybody thought it was one of the existing, like the Bluto or Thanos mold, and it looks like it's a brand new buck. Actually, you take it, you undress him, and he kind of looks like a gorilla.
Huh.
Got the bear chest, and then the grayish blue, the rest of his body.
Okay.
Got some robotic gauntlets that actually have spring loaded. I mean, they don't do anything, but the edge of them are spring loaded. You can push them in. I'm not sure what the purpose of that is, but hey, it's a neat little feature, I guess. So, but otherwise, they had some reveals. There's a the 5 points Doc Nocturnal.
Yes.
They showed a lot more of that. Comes with his car. The Toad Butler, whose name I cannot remember, and there's some buggy bad guys. They didn't look quite like roaches, maybe ants. They're kind of hard to tell. They weren't highly featured in the pictures because, you know, Doc Nocturnal was the main guy. So that looks pretty cool. They're going. So we had the Void Cadet Gomez with the big mech suit a while back. They're going into that a little bit more. It very much feels like it's definitely a Star Wars sort of theme to the character.
I've seen that, yeah.
One of the reveals, the name, I may not be pronouncing this correctly, Olumu Rook. Kind of a Darth Vader-y, well, in the featurette that they released before the mech released, he was the big, dark mech looking figure at the end of it. A different version of Gomez, the Red Eye Knight, kind of a Jedi Knight Luke looking version of Gomez. Yeah. Some picture only reveals or teases a character named Crab Louie. All you saw was like a fisherman sweater and suspenders.
Yeah, the hands. You seen like
a crabby hand and an Aquaman hook hand. Speculation is it's a character to go along with Captain Nemo, maybe. They teased Alistair Gangrene, part of the Gangrene Estates, which apparently is considered to be part of Rumble Society. And all it was a foot and a bear trap. So not much more there. And then they revealed the Rumbler, big ass car, like Mad Max, Redknock, Thunder Machine looking vehicle.
Yeah.
Which I can only imagine how much that's going to end up being. Easily 300 plus based on similar size vehicles.
Sure.
But that means they're listening. So many people in the Mezco groups, at least, have been saying, hey, you know, we need vehicles for these characters. And so, you know, shows Mezco's listening. And the final reveal was Biker Gomez, you know, like Roach Without a Cause. Looks like a black and white version of Gomez in leather. Has the motorcycle. That one, again, depending on the price, that one should hopefully be a little less than the Rumbler. I'm liking the look of that one. Just depends. Just depends on when they drop it, where I'm at, what I can do. Looked really cool. Looked really cool.
They never hold back. I give them the utmost credit when they do their announcements. The production value, they do it very, very well. I love the way they handled their own IPs. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think that that they're just knocking it out of the park with that.
Yeah, stuff. I've mentioned before. I think their own IP, the Rumble Society, is probably my favorite stuff that they put out.
Sure.
And other Mezco related, my Solomon Kane figure came in this week, and he is
seen that.
Very cool. I'm not super familiar with Solomon Kane, and now I want to start reading up, maybe get some books. So I know there's going to be a comic coming out here, not sure how soon, but Patrick Zerker is actually working on it. I know that from following him on Twitter. So,
cool.
That's pretty much it for the RumbleCon. So now on to PulseCon, the exclusive, which was revealed a while back, was the Crimson Strike team. Like you said, fire sale on all the red colored figures. So we get the twins and Baroness in a red themed outfits.
Someone got a truck, a tanker truck full of red. Something I don't know. Man.
Somebody overordered red ink.
Someone overordered red. I said, apparently 10 gallons.
Apparently, there's tons of figures, Crimson Guards being some of them, showing up at like Ollie's and.
Yep.
Yeah.
A friend of mine reached out to me this morning and said that the Ollie's down in Bedford is fully stocked with Crimson Guards and anything else you can think of for $4.99 a piece.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There isn't always in Bedford.
I never saw any of them on the shelf.
Me either. And I don't really collect, but I do keep an eye on things, but I've never seen the Crimson Guard out there either.
No, I've seen the tag at Walmart for Crimson Guard and Snake Eyes, the card back versions, but the pegs are stocked with Lady J and Baroness.
Yeah, so Martinsville's gotten a few hits Dusty, and misses around us.
Dusty Zarana and Crimson Guard $5 each. Lady J was $13. So and they also had some classifieds from the Snake Eyes movie, and I use that term very loosely, for $5 each.
That movie was so disappointing. I mean, all the G.I. Joe movies have been disappointing for me, but Snake Eyes especially. So then the pre-orders went up. We were able to order General Hawk, Agent mm-hmm. Helix, Shockwave. And funny story with those, the boxes that they pictured for Shockwave and Agent Helix, the characters appear to be swapped with each other's backgrounds, because Shockwave is in front of, like, looks like he's on a coastline, whereas Agent Helix is in front of a SWAT van. And Shockwave is the SWAT trooper. And then we also got the Dreadnoughts, Buzzer, and Ripper to pre-order. Buzzer and General Hawk went real quick on Hasbro Pulse.
Yeah.
I believe the rest of them are still available to pre-order. They were on Amazon. That's where I went to find them all. But yeah, those were the figures offered for pre-order. The reveals were Big Boa, mm-hmm. Metalhead, Mutton Junkyard, which we had already gotten a tease of at a previous con.
Yep.
Airborne, who we knew was coming. We just hadn't seen anything yet.
Yep.
Techno Viper, which again, we got the render reveal of, coming with the missile launching system. Quick Kick.
Yeah, people can stop chopping up them old Shang-Chi figures and make the customs. We're done. We got him.
And he's the classic. He's got the karate pants, shirtless with the bandola or whatever mm-hmm. across his chest, and he comes with a chocolate bar for making his commercials.
Love it. The Techno Viper caught me, definitely struck me as someone that likes kind of some of those more weird Vipers. If I collected Classified, that would be like an army builder for me.
Yeah, and then like the Toxo Viper, the big mm-hmm. goofy ass helmet and all that. They also revealed that the retro line, the retro card backs, are no longer exclusive to Walmart. So hopefully they'll make them easier to find. They revealed a retro Duke, retro Scarlet, and a retro Rakondo as coming out.
Mm-hmm.
They also revealed 60th anniversary figures done in to look more like the original Joes. There's a deluxe action soldier and a deluxe action sailor. The sailor actually looks kind of like Torpedo. Yeah. Tons of accessories for both. 60th anniversary stands to put them on. Those look really neat.
They do.
I like the fact not that they've never not acknowledged the original Joe line. But I like that they're acknowledging him in the current stuff, you know, because there's a lot of people who collect Joes now that don't know. You know, when I collect them back in the 80s, I didn't know that there was a previous Joe series.
Sure.
Until my dad was like, hey, I collected those when I was a kid. Wish I would have kept them.
Yeah. It's
like, I wish you would have too.
Yeah. Yeah, because they did, I think in the 90s, because I had them in the 90s, they did a anniversary release of the original Joes, the 12-inch dolls with the original clothing, because I had the throwback ones. They came like in 92, 93 or something like that.
Yeah, with the felt hair and the kung fu grip. And,
yep. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had the black Marine Corps guy with the full, he was actually in full Marine Corps dress.
Yeah.
And his dress blues. I had that one. And I had another one too. Yeah. Yeah. They're huge at KB Toys.
Yep.
Then they had a couple of name only reveals. The Night Creepers are coming. Naugahyde, which was another Dreadnought, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
The Cobra Ferret, which was the Cobra four wheel ATV vehicle with the big cannon on the side of it. And then more retro figures of Beachhead, Eel, and the Snow Serpent, and a rumored retro Cobra Commander with chrome faceplate and everything.
Hmm. Well, good.
So, yeah.
I'm glad to see that IP still going. I really am, because, I mean, when Classifieds came out the gate, boy, it stumbled a little bit. And then
it
hit that Target exclusive Cobra Island stuff, and man, and it just got really sketchy right there for a while, but it looks like they're on the other side of that now. Things are a little bit easier to find, and things are actually, like it or not, things are actually peg warming and appearing in discount stores.
Yeah.
So that means there's a lot of product moving. So,
I mean, it didn't help that they launched towards the beginning of the pandemic and, you know, all the supply and logistic issues that nobody knew was going to hit.
Yeah. I think the biggest issue with
them coming from overseas.
Yeah. I think the biggest issue with the backer card ones, the card ones that are exclusive to Walmart, they have to put them out in other places because every Walmart I've went into, they've almost bottlenecked to where they can't get new product out because they're filling them up with the same stuff. Like you said, the stuff, same stuff has been sitting there for the past 2 or 3 months. I haven't seen Martinsville get a few newer ones recently of the backer card ones, but like most Walmarts, they're bottlenecked. And I think that's why they're like, we're going to have to put them out everywhere else. If not, we're not going to sell them. Same. Next thing you know, they're sitting in Ollie's.
Same thing happened with the Masters of the Universe Origins figures.
Yep.
It got to the point, and then there's that like wave of like wave 4 or 5 of the Revelation MOTU figures. They had to go somewhere, and they ended up going, a lot of them going to like discount stores and stuff. I mean, luckily we have those type of stores now that we didn't have, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe some toy lines would have actually kept going. I don't know. I'm glad to see that they're
deal with it with wrestling too. I mean, they go into Walmart, you're 3 or 4 series behind. AEW is pretty much a lost cause in more ways than one. But I mean, you can't find any, especially Target with the Legends series. They have an exclusive right to them, and I guarantee they're bottlenecked.
Well, they Walmart too. Walmart gets stuff. I mean, they have an exclusive run of Elite figures as well, and. Yeah. And then they got some it's just an absolute mess. It is.
Yeah. The Walmart here in Brownsburg, I feel like I've seen the same figures in the aisle of all lines for, since we've been here a year and a half. The only one I've seen same any kind of rotation on has been Star Wars.
Your Avon one over there is pretty good about them.
Yeah. Yeah. I stopped in there.
Avon Target and the Avon Walmart over there is pretty good. Your problem is that you have a lot of collectible stores around you, so it's kind of hard.
That's true. Yeah.
Swimming with sharks on that one.
Yeah. When I was down there in Seymour yesterday and Friday, I was down there for a small show, and we stopped. One of the guys there that run the show goes, hey, Walmart's got new McFarlane figures. I'm like, which ones they got? And they're like, oh, they've got the new Vampire Green Lantern. I'm like, what? So I ran over there, and be damned, they had a whole case of them on the shelves. That Walmart in Seymour, Indiana was one of the most well-stocked toy sections I have ever seen in the last year and a half, 2 years, would say.
Target in Columbus there is nice, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was stocked, and I went in there, and they had the new Black Lightning gold label McFarlane figure. They had, you know, they actually had stuff, and I'm looking around like, oh yeah, this is kind of cool. This is what a toy section is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And yeah. So anyway, yeah, I was pretty shocked. So, we're going to wait. We're recording this on the morning of October 1st, New York Toy Fair Toy Fair is still going down. We were talking off, air about how, a lot of the ridiculous stuff we've seen. We'll come back to that, in next episode. We're going to let that stuff marinate, but we talked about, was last episode we were joking about the video game figures and how now it's just kind of an understood that a lot of video games are getting figures. Back in the day, because we're older, that wasn't always the case. So where do you guys want to start? I know me and Eric kind of did some research here. And the earliest we can find is Tomy and Coleco Pac-Man stuff from like 81 and 82. Where are you at, Eric? What did you see?
So for me, I mean, the earliest stuff with the Pac-Man fever, I think was the first time I think that people realized they could market video games for more than just video games. And that was with arcade. And that was arcade era. That wasn't even home console era before they made that really crappy Atari version. But they still, like, that was the pinnacle of branding, I would say, and as far as that goes. And then it went pretty quiet because obviously the video game crash happened in the mid-80s, so you didn't have anything until 86, 87 with Mario. Mario did get some traction in the late 80s, early 90s, but mostly overseas.
Yeah.
You know, and then it slowly trickled over here, but we didn't see anything until probably the early 90s. And I think the first, for me as a memory, the first big memory of toys hitting the market would be Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter.
Yep.
Those came out, and they came out in the 3 3/4 scale to, and almost identical twins to G.I. Joe. So as a G.I. Joe collector, you had literally Guile, Zangief, all of them. Then in Mortal Kombat, you started seeing those, and they were exactly the scale. And that's the first time I ever started seeing video game branded toys post the video game crash.
Yeah.
And then it kind of took off from there.
I remember the first time I seen those as a collector. For me, though, the ones that stand out the most, there was a company called Blue Box. And Blue Box brought in a lot of import figures, and they brought them into like EB Games and Babbage's and what was the other one? It's like Suncoast Video and stuff had them. Yeah. And it was like during the early push of PlayStation, like you had Fighting Force.
So a bit like 95. Yeah.
Legacy
era.
Of Kain, Soul Reaver. There's a great game I love on the original PlayStation called Omega Boost. They did some of the mechs for that. And to varying, you know, some are good, some weren't. Then you had a little bit after that, right around the same time, you had Toy Biz, and Toy Biz released their video game superstars line. And it had like Lara Croft in it, and it had Mario Kart 64. You had the Resident Evil figures.
Those were huge. That was the next memory for me, was being in middle school and going to Electronics Boutique and Software, etc., and seeing the Resident Evil figures.
And they were on that weird, like
that card. Weird bubble. Yeah.
Yeah, that weird card. You had Resident Evil 1 and 2. You had they did Legend of Zelda figures, they did Diddy Kong Racing. They actually did a line of the ones that I went nuts for. They did Darkstalkers 3. They actually had some of the Darkstalkers.
Did they do Castlevania as well?
No.
I knew there was Castlevania figures that came
Castlevania out. Was part of NECA's Player Select line. And that comes a little later. But then later, there was GamePro actually had figures.
The magazine.
Yes.
GamePro magazine. Yeah.
Remember GamePro the magazine? So they did figures in Nintendo Power around the same time. They both came out through Joyride Studios, the guys that probably got the biggest name for their Halo figures. I don't know if you remember those original Halo figures. They were big, chunky figures. But these guys did like Link with the horse. They did like Luigi's Mansion. They did a Samus. They did a Mario and Yoshi from Mario Sunshine. And these are bigger, chunkier looking figures. And then the GamePro line, they did Super Monkey Ball, SSX Tricky.
I remember those.
You remember those?
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Sonic, Crazy. They did like a couple of different, the Crazy Taxi Cars.
Yeah, I remember the Crazy Taxi Cars too, actually.
Jet Set Radio. I mean, and then they were the first company that I ever seen that released solid gray figures. Like some of these figures were released in unpainted like prototype chases.
Yeah.
And I remember all that. But then the biggest one, there's a couple of different lines, but I know Resaurus did Street Fighter, Crash Bandicoot, Duke Nukem, Sonic Adventure. They did Quake 2. There's a lot of companies that did it. But Soda's Street Fighter run was probably the most prolific.
I remember seeing those at Spencer's.
Yes. Yep. Yeah,
another store that I always forget about. Spencer's used to be a really big place to get action figures.
Yeah,
that's where I got all my Movie Maniacs from there at EB Games.
Yep. But the ones that probably most people know that kind of started the big trend was NECA's Player Select. I mean, I just kind of skimmed through all the stuff that they've released.
Yeah, they've Contra,
BioShock. They released Dead Space, Bionic Commando, Borderlands, Bulletstorm, the Castlevania series, Contra. They did Crash Bandicoot of late.
Yep.
Dante's Inferno. They released.
Yeah, they did. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. They Devil did. I remember them doing a figure for that. Yep.
Duke Nukem, all the Gears of War figures.
And Gears that was huge for them.
Big line. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God of War. They've done Half-Life 2. They've done Last of Us just recently, yep. really. Go back. They did Ninja Gaiden, the ones yep. that the Sega.
The Sigma. They did the Sigma
yep.
series.
Yep. Portal 2. They've done Resident Evil. They've done everything. They've done Team Fortress 2.
Yep. They even did re-releases and cell shadings for Friday 13th, Nightmare on yep. Elm Street, RoboCop, Rambo.
Yep, all those games. Batman. Tomb Raider, Uncharted. I mean,
they've been pretty much the be-all, end-all when it comes to, other than what's out currently with McFarlane with the Mortal Kombat series and Doom.
Those, and you've got some new guys that are on the Premium DNA.
They're the ones doing Street Fighter right now, right?
No, that's Storm. Storm, and then yeah. there's Figma and there's a few other ones, but Premium DNA is doing the Battletoads, those ones that I had the pictures of from PowerCon, and they're doing Earthworm Jim.
Yes.
And there's a lot of that stuff around. You've got, I remember back in the day, DC Direct changed over to like DC Unlimited or DC Collectibles or something like that. They did figures for Clash of Clans, Dragon Age, God of War, Heavenly Sword. They did figures for Killzone, Resistance. They did a Sweet Tooth Twisted Metal figure.
Yeah, that's another line that I forgot about back in the day was Twisted Metal. They did. I mean, mainly Sweet Tooth. They always had, you could either find it. I remember seeing his car and his character.
His car. They did a remote control car. I think yep. Joyride did the car. Then they did early Jada, or they did, and then I know, but PlayStation line that DC put out had yeah. Sweet Tooth in it, and then I know Sweet Tooth has been made into a Funko Pop.
Yep,
but he's probably the he's the face of Twisted Metal. But back in the day, we used to like, it was different to see video game figures on the shelves. You know, it wasn't like it was as prolific.
It wasn't as mainstream. I think it was more like hobby shop level. If you wanted a video game figure, you had to go to a video game store that might carry it.
Most of them were questionable quality that was imported in by a company like Blue Box Toys or someone like that. Yeah, because I remember some Street Fighter figures that were kind of like Mego-esque with like cloth costumes and stuff and in different scale. And things. I remember, like, I know they released a bunch of, I forget what company released it. There was a company that was just bringing in a shit ton of Zelda stuff. It wasn't the greatest quality. I remember I bought my nephew, Link and his horse and, together, and it was in a box, and it was like back then. I mean, it was like $40, and that's in like 1999 money. So, pretty expensive. But you've had different companies try to step in and do things. I mean, you got Street Fighter now through Jada. I mean, those, Joe, you've got your hands on some of those.
Yep. Those are nice. Those are, those are 6-inch. Mm-hmm. Those are G.I. Joe, the Hasbro quality. They're very nice, very poseable.
I know that Eric, you brought up the NECA has taken some of their horror figures and cel shaded them and did them to look like the old video.
Oh yeah, they like release them even in the boxes or they're literally are the boxes of the Nintendo games, which is brilliant.
Even wrestling has done that when they did that Retrofest stuff.
Yeah, or is it in the boxes? It was like their take on WrestleFest, but the box, and you mainly found them in GameStops.
Well, and even now, love them or hate them, you can get Street Fighter crossover AEW.
Yep.
I mean, so back in the day, it was rare. You had to hunt down, because most of the stuff was borderline import. I mean, for the most part, it was all imported in. But now it's like, if it's a video game of any, like, who is it, Jada that's got the lines, or is it Jazzwares that's got the Call of Duty line? Like, they're going to go and do Call of Duty figures.
I know McFarlane had it at one point.
McFarlane had it. not very successful, but I know
it was kind of a train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know that, one of those companies that got the Call of Duty license, because they had them on, it's a company that makes AEW. So that's Jazzwares.
Jazzwares
debuted some figures and stuff, and people will buy those. Halo. I mean, Halo's been
Halo's on the still. I mean, Halo still, Reach yeah. figures. I mean, there's a guy I worked with years ago that collected Halo figures.
Oh yeah, from like I was like I said, the one company, Joyride, Halo, Halo 2. And then all of a sudden, McFarlane got it.
Yeah.
And
then ran ODST.
ODST
came out and Reach came out and he had it.
He ran for those for years. And now I don't know who's got it, but Halo's been on the store shelves.
Well, probably 20 years at this point.
Almost 20 years now.
Yep. Because Halo 2 came out in 03.
Yeah. I mean, it's stayed on shelves. It's got that big of a following that kids, I mean, that Master Chief is their G.I. Joe in a way for a generation of kids. Some of these figures are not good. Some of them are very based in their time of when they were made.
I think the Resident Evil 2 figures and the 3, I remember Billy had a Nemesis on his desk for years, that giant Nemesis. Yeah.
That was through Resaurus, big old giant thing. Yeah. I love those figures. Those are great.
Those almost came off looking like anime.
Well, because I think it was.
Which was fine. It matched the art style of the game.
Now, the Toy Biz ones that they put out were smaller scale and they kind of had like gimmicks.
Yeah,
like the zombies could, like, you could flip a switch and the zombie would like fall apart, or it would like rise up out of the ground or something. And and they had like missiles, firing weapons and things, which for the time was great. And it got in store shelves. I remember those were part of what I called the secondary figures, because back in the day, Toys R Us had the one aisle that had your Marvel and your DC and all that stuff. And then it was the next aisle where you got your weirdo figures, like where you'd find your mystery men you know, figures and things like that. And that the weirdo aisle, I think as Target's kind of got that now to this day, don't they, where you got like the video game, the Fortnite side, and then you've got the other side,
your branded licensed stuff that switches over to the smaller brands, and then later it turned into, you know, where you could get your Movie Maniacs and like when Toys R Us was doing that in NECA, and it kind of just changed in time.
Yeah. Well, that's another one too. Not even bringing up, look, Fortnite. Holy crap.
Oh yeah. Fortnite's huge. They're smart enough in their branding that they put with their characters, I think, a QR barcode to get unlockables in the game.
That's where it's at
Which is smart. I mean, very smart.
It's really cool to see the evolution of not having a damn thing to
of basically 30 years.
Yeah. Of it becoming just very commonplace. It's like that figure. Oh, that huge video game doesn't have a figure line. You know, and there's some companies that are really super tight and don't want figure lines. Like
Konami used to be real tight about it.
Konami used to be real tight. Another one too, Rockstar Games.
Yeah, to this very day has never released a character. If you were to release anything from Red Dead, just Red Dead.
Are you kidding me, right? Yeah.
Like, just look past Grand Theft Auto, just Red Dead. If you were to do a Red Dead series, it would go over huge. And then if you expanded upon GTA and the main characters, I would buy a Trevor.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah. I mean, but I think
I would buy a Trevor plush doll if you pulled the the cord and he'd cuss at you. Yeah, I'd buy that.
But some of those companies are super stingy about their branding. They don't want to, you know. Well, you know what I just completely forgot about? Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead had a huge the Boomer. Remember the Boomers and that big all those. Me and him, we used to chase those down trying to find them, like, because they were kind of really hard to get.
They were. I've got a lot of this stuff still, as far as like the NECA stuff. Like, I've got all of the Dead Space figures from 1 and 2. I've got a shit ton of BioShock figures. who I got all the I got almost all the Castlevanias. I've got the newest God of War, Kratos, the Viking God of War guy. Yeah, I got him. I've got the Last of Us 2 pack, Half-Life 2. I've got the main character, and a few other things. But yeah, I got some of the Resident Evil pieces. The Uncharted Nathan Drake that came out, not the Tom Holland one, but the real one, is a great figure still.
Which I think NECA did that one too.
Yeah, they did. These are all under their player select line. They did some great stuff. Spyro, Crash Bandicoot. They've been doing those lately too.
Yeah, that there's one that's out now. It's pretty nice.
That right there tells you how much we've gotten of these figures that we are forgetting, that because they're just so prevalent, they're just there. They're omnipotent. They're just, they've been there for years.
Yeah.
I know I go out looking one of my tubs, I still have, I think I had most of the McFarlane Metal Gear Solid figures.
Oh, I've got those too. Yeah. I didn't even
realize. Did McFarlane do Metal Gear?
Oh yeah. Yep. Metal Gear 1 and 2. Metal Gear 1 was, those figures were, and still are, just beautiful sculpts.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere. I remember chasing Sniper Wolf and Vulcan Raven. Could not find Vulcan Raven. That's the big guy with the...
That's one of the ones I have out there.
Yeah, I've got him
finally. I have out there.
Yeah, I remember when those came out, those were really hard to get. Really hard to get. McFarlane, and he did he did some repaints of like Psycho Mantis and Snake in see-through colors that were like part of like a Wave 2 or something. I remember when Series 2 came out. Well, Series 2 was Sons of Liberty, right?
Yes.
It was a Build-A-Figure piece to one of the, the Metal Gear Rex, I think, was the Build-A-Figure. You had the little bitty pieces with it, and you built this little model of it. And that was like one of the first like Build-A-Figure things that I had ever seen.
Toy Biz went nuts with it.
Well, leave it to Todd to be a little bit ahead of the curve on some things, and then other things he's completely wrong on. Like I seen this morning that he was talking about, he's basically still pushing NFTs. I'm like, come on, dude, back off. But anyway, it's become just such an interesting ingrained thing now. It's like, it's because there's so many, like, video games are so character driven, and the problem though is some of these characters have gotten to the point where it's they just market the character and not the game quality. I think Nintendo suffers from that sometimes. I'm looking over here and I'm seeing I've got amiibos. Those are figures, right?
Well, yeah, more or less. Yeah.
I got both of the Castlevania ones up there.
I mean, in the same light, you look at that. You look at that was the boom period of Amiibo, Skylanders, and Disney Infinity.
Yes,
which was the 2010s. The 2010s. Yep. Those were all they were figures that were interlocked to games that you could use and interact with them.
You said the Lego ones, right?
Oh no! I forgot about Legos. So you got Lego Dimensions. You got Skylanders and Disney Infinity.
Yeah. I seen at the show this weekend. I seen that there was a guy there had a bunch of the Disney ones out there, and I was looking at them and I was like, man, I had some of these because at the end when they went on clearance, they had some really cool sculpts of some Star Wars figures.
The Star Wars ones. I was working at GameStop at the time they came out. I mean, those people were going crazy. They did some one-off exclusives of Jack Skellington. I think it's a one-off exclusive, I think, of Jack Sparrow, and stuff like that. Yeah, no, there was ones that, and Skylanders that were notorious for exclusivity. They would do all kinds of specialized ones, and
there at the end of Skylanders, I remember seeing they crossed over with Spearow and Crash, right?
Well, yes, yeah, Spyro was the inspiration that created Skylanders to begin with.
Yes.
And then they brought it all together at the end. And you had Spyro interacting with the Skylanders. And I can't remember if Crash Bandicoot was involved in it or not. But I want to say, I know for certain Spyro was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we sold a lot of Spyros. And the Spyro came as it was ending. And around that same time is when the Spyro Reignited Remaster Edition was getting announced. And that's when it came out.
Yeah. That sounds right. That sounds right. Yeah. It's crazy when you think about it now. It's like, oh, video game figures. Who would have thought? Now it's like, why isn't it? You know?
Yeah, I think for me, the three things that kind of made them, one was how big video games took off in the late 80s going in, moving forward, and the console wars and all of it. Like, they got so popular that they started branding. It's when you started seeing more clothing. You started seeing the video game movies. You started seeing... Yeah. All that stuff, the toys were gonna come. And then also the availability to buy it, because it went from only getting it through small video game stores and hobby shops to getting it at Toys R Us and then getting it at Walmart and Target. And it's kind of the availability changed to where you didn't have to go to a special store. You could literally walk into a Walmart and find it.
We had to wait for it to cross over from being like, I remember when video game playing was like looked at as like this weird, like, oh, you're one of those guys, to it becoming, you know, so mainstream, esports and things like that, I'm sure is because of that. But looking back on, I remember in the last 10 years plus, that World of Nintendo line is still going.
Yep.
You know, even the little small ones up by the register at Walmart to the bigger ones. And then you throw in the Mario movie, those are still going. And those haven't been off the shelves in, like I said, over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy. I seen a new line. I seen they got the World of Nintendo there. I seen they did a new Link and Zelda, and then they did like a new Samus and stuff like that. I've seen those on the shelves. To think that you would have told me back in the day that Metroid's going to cross over and people are going to know that that's a girl in the suit, I'd have called you a damn liar and kicked you in the shin, you know? but here we are now, and it's like everyone knows Samus. Everyone knows Samus. Everyone knows Metroid. And then think about it, too. I'm just sitting here thinking, how many of like these companies that release like exclusives or like special where they collector's editions and things like that? Some of those come with figures.
Yep. Yeah. The big box sets and stuff like that. Either they get statues or they get action figures or something with it. Yeah.
I remember pre-ordering I remember that one of my favorite things, and I still got it here in the house, was a Kobe Bryant bobblehead of him standing on a GameCube. It was a promo item
for NBA courtside
game.
Yeah, it was NBA courtside.
And it was,
I don't know why I remember that, but I do.
It was him standing on top of a Nintendo GameCube. I've got it around here somewhere. And he's actually, I think, holding a GameCube controller.
Yeah.
It's still probably my all-time favorite game system.
Oh, GameCube. Oh, yeah, I love GameCube. GameCube is up here, like right under for me, right under like the Dreamcast. But that just shows how old I am.
But yeah, I think it was just the right time. Like
absolutely.
Now it's just like you said. You know, they did a thing years ago with little kids who didn't know anything, and they flashed like two or three brand logos, and they knew what they were without knowing anything about them. One was a Superman S, one was the McDonald's arches, you know. And now it's to that point where you could take a character and put it on something like, oh, that's so and so. Have you ever played the game? No, but they know who Mario is. I mean, and Mario falls. Mario. You see that
those face. Those video game characters have crossed over to become like the next. I know Bugs Bunny and stuff like that's always going to be around, but it's very generational. Mario's and those type of characters have become like the new like Looney Tunes and Muppets
and Disney characters. I mean, that's why you see now Universal Studios doing a Nintendo Land in their theme parks.
It's smart.
You know, it's brilliantly smart, and it's going to be huge.
And Nintendo has been so good about keeping all their games family, or all their internal games,
their internal IPs.
Are so kid friendly, so family friendly, so easily digestible, and non-offensive that why not? I mean, they've been doing that now since what? When did the original Nintendo come out?
Well, I mean, the first person on the scene in the early with their arcades, like 82, 83. So I think probably over 40 years. So
they've got 40 years of cultivating that.
And they've been very particular about what they put their stuff out on and how they marketed themselves and how they did it. They never just completely went crazy and put it out on everything. They're very tight with who has their stuff and who releases their stuff, and they will step in legally and shut you down if you try pulling stuff on them.
They let their hands off of it one time. And that was that Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yep. And they learned their lesson out of that.
Famicom first came out July 15th, 83. So 40 years.
Yep. Yeah. 40 years of being controlling of your IP. Good for them. And good.
Yep.
A Nintendo Land? Are you kidding me? If you was to build like one of those little obstacle course, like on that TV show.
They already have.
Have they?
Yeah, they have a thing. You get a thing. It's a wristband, and you go through, and there's blocks that you can hit with your wristband and collect points, and they have an app on your phone.
Fuck.
Yeah. No, you need to pull up YouTube videos of Nintendo Land and see what they're doing, and your head's going to explode.
But, like, remember the TV show Wipeout?
Yeah.
You do Wipeout, but you do it, like, in a 2D Super Mario where you're
kind of like Legends of the Hidden Temple on Nickelodeon back in the day.
Yes.
They had a video game show that had that little 2D thing that you ran through an obstacle course and looked like you're going. I forget the name of that video game show on Nintendo, but Nickelodeon. You know what I'm talking about, though.
I do.
I mean, yeah, no, that theme park now has an interactive ride for Mario Kart. It has the wristbands so you can do the blocks. The new park that they're building in Orlando is supposed to have a Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong ride. And you're inside of a barrel. Zelda's going to be the thing that if they build the castle and they do a full Zelda thing, or if they do Peach's castle, any of that stuff, it's going to be huge. The one I would love, Konami's gotten better. Netflix has the Castlevania series. But if they were like, Universal, we trust what you're doing with that. We'll tell you what, do Castlevania. Do a Castlevania part of the park and do the castle. They're already doing something now at Epic Universe. New parks have Universal Monsters. There's a castle being built, and they're not saying if it's Frankenstein's castle or if it's Dracula's castle, but something's getting built out there right now.
That'd be cool. I'm a Castlevania fanatic, so for me it would be I'm started watching the next, was it Castlevania Nocturne just started, and I started watching it. So again, Nintendo is their stuff so easy to get into. It's so palatable. A parent isn't scared to hand their kid a Nintendo game.
And that speaks a lot.
Like, I mean, honestly, I think Nintendo probably has a better rapport with parents than Disney does right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other one we can't sleep on is Sonic.
Huge following,
and those toy lines
have been out there.
Been for, huge too.
Yeah,
and Sonic, I think, gets kind of lost in that world because of Mario. But Sonic's another safe one, and the two movies they've done's gotten good reviews and made a lot of money.
I watched the first one; it was actually really good.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The only problem I have with it is I'm not a Jim Carrey guy. But he did what he needed to do. So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. His check cashed. But
that it did.
I mean, but if if somebody got a hold of Sonic and did him the right way, like they've been doing with him. I mean, and I think he's another safe one. I think families feel comfortable with of all the Capcom IPs, that's probably the safest one.
Well, he's Sega. He's owned by Sega themselves.
I thought Capcom owned him. Is he actually owned by Sega? So then Sega, that's their safe place.
Yeah.
And that's probably making them tons of money. Since Sega is pretty much more or less defunct. Yeah.
Yep.
It's the only thing keeping them business, because I'm telling you what, they haven't released any games worth a damn in a long time.
Oh, yeah. In a long time. Yeah. But I mean, and all the other stuff they've branded with them, it's been bad.
And a lot of it, too, we talk about age. We talk about years. We're talking about now kids. We're looking at, like, second, third generation Nintendo players.
Yep.
I'm 45. If I was a parent, that means I grew up playing a Nintendo. I grew up playing a Super Nintendo. I probably was dabbling with in the GameCube era. Then all of a sudden, I've got a kid. And that kid's probably got a Switch.
Yeah. And they're re-releasing all these retro packs. I mean, I just saw one limited run. I'm like, I don't really want to give limited run any more of my money. But Jurassic Park, they're doing a full collection set of all the Jurassic Park games from Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Sega. I was like, damn it. Like, I'm going to end up buying this. Because I got the Cowabunga collection now for Turtles. They've done an Atari 50 series, a Sega collection. The throwback mini retro consoles. Yep. I mean, it's
Joe. You're a parent, and you're a video game player from back in the day. Did that stuff carry over?
Oh, absolutely.
It was always in the house, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, at points I've owned a PlayStation, a 360, but the bulk of my systems have always been Nintendo.
Yep.
Madison's got a Switch Lite. I have a Switch Lite. That way we're not that we do very often, but we can get online, mostly on Animal Crossing. But
there you go.
That game's so damn addictive.
Don plays it quite a bit.
But like you were saying, I noticed on the Nintendo eShop the other day, they've got the Metal Gear Solid collection. They've got
Castlevania collection, Contra collection.
I picked up the Contra collection. I picked up a Tony Hawk Pro Skater collection of 1 and 2. Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's taken up a lot of my time recently.
Soundtrack kind of upsets me because it's missing stuff, but still it's good.
Yeah. But she's no problems with her getting on playing anything on Nintendo. She loves Zelda. She loves Mario.
Well,
Samus, all that.
Not to cut you off, but think about this. The proliferation of tech deck toys is directly
Tony Hawk
to that first Tony Hawk game.
Then the mini bikes out the Dave Mira games. I mean, there's Matt a lot Hoffman of bleeding over those. Of all that stuff between worlds.
Hell yeah.
I mean, even with movie stuff, Ninja Turtles, I mean, for our generation, the Ninja Turtle games on the NES and then Turtles in Time on the Super Nintendo. I mean, were huge. Yeah. The IPs that crossed lines that had great games, Capcom and the Disney games, DuckTales, and
Well, Final Fantasy being PlayStation exclusive now started out on Nintendo. I remember spending hours on those games.
Yep, it's really interesting that, I mean, we're looking at 40 years of cultivating, and we look now, it's like, okay, toys are and everything else, but it's because of us growing up with it that we feel safe with it to hand it to our kids or our grandkids and stuff, and they've earned that place in, I mean, American pop culture. At one time, looking back at the beginning of the toys to now, at one time it wasn't always there. No. But now it's so ingrained in all of us that it's just like we almost feel offended if our favorite video game doesn't have some type of statue or toy or something. You know what I mean?
And then cartoon. You have even comic books. I mean, they've taken side stories or if a video game. I know a couple of video game characters that the game series didn't do well. They tried to crowdfund a sequel. They couldn't get it off the ground. Instead, what they did was they just did a comic to finish the story. Yeah. And they've done that.
I bought quite a few. There for a while, DC was doing a lot of properties tied in to video games. There was an Infamous comic. There was a Last of Us comic, which I still have those. And then there was Uncharted. They've done a bunch of that. Those three stick out to me, but they've done other ones too. But the comic series was great. Like the Last of Us comic book series was an interpretation of the DLC when she meets that girl, her girlfriend, and she gets bit, and not spoilers, I guess, and everything. But that they showed on the show was in the comic book. It's also the DLC. So it was. They use these comic books in the different sides to expand out those stories, and that's a great idea. Because let's be honest, if you're playing games like, oh, well, hell, look at the Batman Arkham series.
Oh, God,
games.
Yeah.
There's comics for those.
And
those
the action figures were amazing.
The action figures are badass. I mean, still to this day, DC Direct was doing those figures. Al McFarlane's still doing Arkham-based figures. It's just so ingrained now. It's really interesting. It's like, you damn youngins, you get all this good stuff, and all I had was a Pac-Man wind-up or whatever, you know. And I'm looking around in my room. I'm like, oh, shit, there's Batman, the Arkham version of, I got a 18-inch, or what the NECA did, the 18, was it 2-foot-tall ones? I've got Batman Origins up there. Because that's my favorite costume that they did from the video games. I'm looking around like, I've got video game figures in here, and you just don't even know it. Yeah. Well, hell, look at Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
We could go on. Star Wars.
Yeah. You could talk for hours about it. Well, I mean,
because they've started doing like video game legends, or what's that line? That
Force Unleashed. Called? I mean, Force Unleashed alone. Yeah. Force Unleashed alone made a game. And then it just exploded out into action figure series. The actor is a huge Star Wars fan.
Is it called Gaming Legends or something? But they've put a lot of those characters from the video game series.
Oh yeah, and it's
Star Wars Black Line.
Oh yeah,
I see Shao's the Empire figures, I'd probably go after him.
Oh yeah. Oh, give me an updated Dash Rendar.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. Yeah, or the Prince Zizor, and and all that. Oh God, yeah.
Because they did those years ago. They actually made them with comic book with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they came out around Power of the Force.
I'd love. You see, again, it's video game, and we've just now it's just become again. It's so ingrained that we feel offended if we don't have them. what's the last video game that they did? It has the kid from that one
show. It's a Jedi Survivor. He played the Joker in the Gotham series, and he was in Shameless.
Cameron Monaghan. I mean, they did figures of him, two or three figures now of him, and those do well. They just did Malgus and a few other characters from the other games and stuff. So
that's the only downside to having a Switch is I don't get the newer Star Wars. I think they just put Knights of the Old Republic up on the shop.
Yeah, 1 and 2, yeah.
But Fallen Jedi Survivor, that series. I've played a little bit of it at a buddy's house. It's like, damn it, I don't want to buy a new system just to get this.
It's Star Wars Uncharted, basically.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
That doesn't hurt.
Same with the Spider-Man games. I want.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't want to buy a new PlayStation 4 or 5 because I want to spend the money on it just to play one or two games.
The problem is though, man. You do get one of those, you find a lot more games that you want.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, you just said it. Spider-Man. They've made figures of those video game versions of Spider-Man. Well, yeah. And I was looking around.
I've got the advanced suit Hot Toys Spider-Man. So
it is so like it we could go for hours and still never fully scratch, get down to the bottom of all that. Because, I mean, it just, toys are great marketing, you know? Yep. And if I'm a fan of a game, like Gears, I remember my brother, ex-brother-in-law, huge Gears of War dude. He had everything.
He had all of them. He had all of them. He may still, I don't know. He may have sold them. I can't remember.
No, they're not. They're long gone. And I looked at some prices of those recently.
Oh yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
I remember he had ones that like had their heads exploded and they come with like blood spray coming out of their bodies and stuff.
Yeah. He had every single one of them.
Oh, he had them all set up in like dioramas. Anyway. Yeah. It was cool. But because of us, we're the generation that bought those video games. We're the generation that that wants a toy representation on our shelves. I'm going to knock it off. I'm still looking around. I've got a Metroid over there, which is like this big around, sitting over there on the shelf. I'm like, well, there he is. Yeah. So yeah, it's
actually bad. I wish WWE would do like cell shaded retro throwbacks of WrestleFest. Sure. I mean, they have the IPs or they have the ability to make the Legends figures. They could go back and make the Legion of Doom from WrestleFest, Mr. Perfect, and they already have Jake and Hulk and Warrior. If they did those cell shaded to look like
pixelated
WrestleFest, like WrestleFest, or the boxes to look like the WrestleFest like box or arcade artwork, they would sell like crazy. I mean, I'm surprised that nobody's thought about doing that yet.
WrestleFest is probably the most beloved of all the wrestling video games, especially
of the arcades. Yeah.
Yeah. It's beloved. That thing is, you say WrestleFest and guys our age are like, oh, that game, we love that game.
Yeah. Cause also the same four person. I mean, we've already seen it with NECA and the Turtles. They did the pack of all the characters cell shaded from the arcade game and Turtles in Time.
And they've released them individually too. Yeah.
Yeah. Have they done X-Men? I can't remember if somebody's done X-Men.
Yeah, they've done some cell shaded versions. I don't think they ever did pixelated versions. Yeah.
But if they did one of those,
give them
the opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't give them any ideas because that's coming next and it's going to be we could go for hours, guys, it's here, and we all kind of grew up in it, right? I mean, if you're over the, if you're from 30 something up to mid 40s, 50.
Yeah. I mean, it blows my mind just in general stuff that I never thought I would see in my lifetime get turned into an action figure, like the fall geek thing for Target dropped this week. And I picked up that Creature from Black Lagoon, but the next figure right below, which I almost bought and I didn't, I never thought I was going to get an action figure for my Bloody Valentine of Harry Warden. I was like, really? Like
at Target. It's not Target. That you got that figure. You got
Target. Yeah. You know, and it's just Target. Like, it's stuff like that. I'm like, I never thought in a million years I'm going to get something like that small of a niche thing. And it sold out. Like I almost bought it, didn't pull the trigger. It sold out, but they're going to put it more out. They've already said,
Well, I remember looking at
Doom was another one.
What is it?
Doom. I mean, it took till 2018 to finally get something from Doom. They finally, when Bethesda got the rights from id, is when we start seeing action figures. And now I never thought I'd get the Doom Slayer. And now here it is,
Got him. I got him. And I got some of the,
I remember playing that on thought, Commodore 64.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, why haven't we got Wolfenstein figures, man? Come on.
I think
I like to shoot.
That one might be because of a few reasons or another. Yeah.
I said word. Sorry. Yeah.
That one might be more of a, you could probably do his character, the lead character, especially the new games.
Yeah. Burkowski or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Cause I've played through them. I actually like them quite a bit. The New Order and Wolfenstein 2 and Old Blood. I would do that one character. You could do him, and it would do pretty well, I think. But anything outside of that, you'd be toeing the line pretty hard of what you could get away with in the storefront. Yeah. But they've done well. I mean, actually, I take that back. They have made an action figure of him. They did an ultimate collector's edition for pre-order for Wolfenstein 2, and it came with a steel case, and it came with a Mego style figure of him.
No kidding.
Yeah, BJ Blazkowicz. Yeah, because I remember seeing it on Mercari, because I almost bought, it was a full set. It was one and two, and then the box set, and it came with the action figure on Mercari. I almost bought it. And it was like $50. Somebody was selling it. But yeah, no, they did a figure, but it was only through exclusive right.
They're everywhere, man. It's nuts. That's not even counting Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Digimon, all that stuff. I mean, look, the Pokemon company, say what you will.
But who has a hand in that?
It's Nintendo.
Nintendo. Yeah.
It's Nintendo.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's Nintendo. Again, another one of those things that they have, they got.
They made they legitimized cockfighting and sold it to children.
Yep.
I mean, seriously,
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly what it is. They legitimized the idea of cockfighting and dogfighting and sold it to children. And they love it.
Yep.
Good for Nintendo.
Yep. I just sent you the picture of BJ Blazkowicz. It's a Sideshow Collectible style figure. And it's a big box. It looks like a throwback. Yeah. Yeah, through eBay, it's like $30. But yeah, it was exclusive to the big box set. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, I don't know anything that hasn't been turned into a figure at this point in one way or the other. I mean,
we can look at some of the bigger GTA companies, like
Rockstar is the only GTA, one that's
anything from Rockstar. I mean, even the Bully characters, any of that stuff would sell.
I don't understand.
But yeah, any of the Red Dead, any of the Red Dead stuff. Oh God.
And especially switching to Undead Nightmare.
Undead Nightmare would sell. That's just repaints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm surprised they haven't done it. It's like you can literally just do repaints of stuff.
I would pay really handsomely for a James Marsden figure.
Oh, yeah.
So,
him with his horse?
Yeah. No question asked.
Yeah. Yeah. Those games. What's that? That's why him with his horse. I just have his, that stuff. I'm surprised but Rockstar is, I don't know. It's really weird that they haven't done any of that type of stuff. I mean,
I'd like to know who's went after that, though. I'm sure companies have went after
coin toss between McFarlane and NECA. I think either one of those, or even Sodas at the time,
or someone right like now. That. Yeah,
somebody who's has a heavy checkbook that could swing that bat, and I think McFarlane and probably
McFarlane.
NECA would be at the top of the hit list. McFarlane would probably be the number one.
I
can't see
a small independent company. It had to be McFarlane. I couldn't see anybody else coming for it. I don't think NECA could really do it McFarlane's already got all the horse sculpts. They've got a lot of that stuff ready to go. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. It'll happen one day and we'll be all on here freaking the fuck out about it.
Yeah, especially, I mean, GTA, they could do.
Now I've got a cowboy section in my toys, you know?
Yeah, and just with GTA, I mean, you're the character from Number 3, Vice City, San Andreas, the main characters for it. Sure. And then go get to Number 5 and you have Franklin, and you have Trevor, mm-hmm. you have Michael. I mean, and you could five. You have the biggest selling game of all time. It has shattered all the records. Why would you not have those three and you don't see merchandise for it at all. You don't see when they did their box sets, it came with t-shirts and stuff like that, but that's where it stopped at.
Yeah.
But like you don't see cups, t-shirts, hats. You don't see anything. I don't know if it's in their mind, you know,
like I would put out t-shirts that had the radio stations on them.
Oh yeah,
because the radio stations are such an important part of the game that it's so geeky that people would wear them. You know, I just
So the closest we ever got from Rockstar, I just thought of a character that they did do. It's kind of, it's a statue, but not a figure. They did do Max Payne. And they did have a statue of him for number three. That's the closest they ever got was Max Payne.
Yeah. That Max Payne 3 was a damn good game, too.
Yep, because it kind of carried the same gun shooter system as GTA 5.
Yep. Yeah. Interesting.
Yep. I sat thinking about that one for a second. I was like, yep.
Yeah. We can wrap it up and just say that, yeah, video game toys are welcome and here to stay. And we have things that we want. Give us the toys.
I think we're going to see now more. You're going to see especially with I just got the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. I think you're going to see the toy lines now go, okay, we'll start going back and picking these characters up and doing video game versions that they did of them and re-releasing them back out too, like they've done in the past. I think you're going to start seeing it ping pong back and forth.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Sure. I mean, why wouldn't you? If you put something out there in a toy aisle that cross sells to your video game, you know, or back and forth. You're right. I mean, it makes absolute sense. Marketing's marketing. It's smart. You know, so yeah. Awesome. Well, gentlemen, we'll wrap it up. We like video game toys, and I think we all have some.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. So,
if you're a toy collector and you don't, I'm shocked. Even if you're just a G.I. Joe collector, you probably have those Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter figures.
Right.
Yeah. In your collection. Yep. You know, so there you go.
Because they all matched in it. I mean, even a wrestling fan has Sergeant Slaughter from G.I. Joe.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. There we go. So, all right, guys. Well, we'll wrap it up. Next episode, we will wade into the deep, deep cold water of, no pun intended, of New York Toy Fair. Because I guess
the next 30 days is going to be wild. I mean, Toy Fair, New York Comic Con, ITCE.
Yeah, yep. ITCE. Yeah. We're...
And the next 30 days is about to get real wild real quick.
Yeah. Which I plan on being down there this year.
Good.
I expect to be there. Well, you can pick up Madison since we're going right by IU. So,
right. I mean, it's right there, Joe. It's like damn near in the same parking lot.
Yeah. But we can't stand in their parking lot for some reason.
You're right. Yeah.
Actually, it's her fall break weekend, so like we'll be getting her like Thursday or Friday and taking her back on Sunday. It's like, well, you know that's ITCE. And, you know, I'm going down there anyway. So
yeah,
good for you. You can catch a ride.
Yeah, you can walk. How far is the dorms from there?
I actually haven't looked. I'm not sure. It's not too far though.
So like, I got the you public this part. Tuck and roll.
Yeah, use the public bus service.
Good God. Don't ride a public bus in Wilmington.
No.
No, she had a bad experience.
All right, guys. All right, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for joining us and our in chatter of video game toys. And we'll be back with New York Comic Con. And thanks for joining me, guys.